Okay, thank you, Pastor. Thank you, men. Okay, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Exodus chapter number 34. And then we're going to go over to Deuteronomy chapter 16. And those two passages will mostly suffice. I may quote some others. It's good to be here with the men. And I recall a time years ago, and I may reference this point again along the way. I recall a time many years ago when I first started going to church. I was saved as a teenager, so that'd be 40 years ago. And when I first started going to church, I began to attend church when most Australian men had already forsaken church. So our history here in Australia is an interesting one. We've had a lot of investment spiritually through the years, as you look back on it. Right back even as far as Spurgeon's time. I don't know if you know, but Thomas Spurgeon was out here. And he did quite a bit to plant Baptist churches in Australia, and built them and financed them. And they were mostly modelled on the Metropolitan Tabernacle Church. So they're still out there. If you find them, the buildings have a distinct look. And they have those pillars and much modelled on, not as big, of course, but modelled on Spurgeon's church, because it was Thomas Spurgeon who, was leading the financing of that. So that's interesting, part of our history here in Australia, that people were investing in us right back then. And then there's a history of, some interesting periods of revival. I don't know, surprisingly, but it comes up a lot that many times Melbourne was at the centre of that. Now, it's not quite how we think about Melbourne now, but that Melbourne was featured a lot historically through God's working in Australia in the 30s and other periods. And then 1959, Billy Graham was at the MCG and had a crowd there. He preached to a crowd of 130,000. And to this day, that's still the largest crowd that has ever been in that place. And so he was here. And then I remember, I was told by people who were in the meeting, Hyman Appleman was here. If you don't know who Hyman Appleman is, you can look that up another time. But Hyman Appleman was an American Jewish man who was saved and really had the touch of God and the power of God in his life. And Hyman Appleman came here for weeks and preached, and many, many people got saved. Many people went out from that. Many people got saved and ended up in all sorts of places. I remember meeting people through the years in different places, not necessarily Baptist people. And I remember the head of the Presbyterian Theological College years ago. I was talking to him. And I asked him about his salvation. And he said, well, I got saved in a meeting. There was an evangelist there you probably have never heard of. And I said, who was it? He said, his name was Hyman Appleman. And I just don't know how many times that's come up where people were saved in that time. So there was a period in Australian life where there was, much more happening, and people were getting saved. But by the time I got saved, most of that had sort of begun to dissipate. And when I first started going to church, it was really common for churches in Australia to mostly have ladies, or children, and many times elder ladies. And I don't know if some of you can remember that, but mostly, and that was how Australians thought about church. That's how Aussies thought about church. When I was a teen, Aussies thought that church was a place that grandmothers and ladies went to, and maybe kids, perhaps kids for Sunday school, but there wasn't a lot of men in church. And we now, when that happened, by the way, that began to dovetail with what I think has been national decline. As men have not been in church and have not been saved, then that's had an effect nationally. And so it's always encouraging to see men in church. And I remember coming to church when men didn't sing. When it was considered here in Australia, it wasn't manly to sing. And so I can recall, and when I began pastoring many years ago, I remember the first time a group of men sang. And I remember the occasion, where we were, and how impacting that was, because that was so different to what was just around. Now, we love ladies. We particularly love mothers and wives. I mean, we need them, but we need men. And we need to understand the importance of reaching men, and understanding that the pattern that God has given through His working, through the Bible, the pattern God gives is reaching men who then reach men. Pastor Gibbs referred to that last night at the talk of the dinner, but men reaching men. And it's really important. And it's important for us to understand that this is something that Jesus did. So Jesus touched many people, men and women. And Jesus died for everybody, but Jesus called men, He reached men, He trained men, and it was men He sent out. So, you know, we just want to digest that that's the pattern of the Saviour. Now, by the way, there wasn't hundreds of men. So there's some hope here for us. It wasn't like he needed hundreds. Really, he had but a few. But he put much into that few. So we're not a, and I understand there are people here from New Zealand, which I thank God for, and good reports of good works in New Guinea and other places. I think it's for us all. But there's hope for us, in that we don't have to be a large population base to have a large impact for God. All right? So it's never been dependent on how many you are. It's really been dependent on what you are and what your standing is with God. And that's seen in the scriptures. God said to Israel, I did not choose you because you were many. In fact, you were little to other groups on the earth. But I chose you. When you look at the ministry of Jesus, he operated in a really small window of geography. He really, really did not go that far. But of course, he profoundly affected the whole world. So, you know, New Zealand, Australia, PNG, other places in the region, we don't have a large population base. Many years ago, when Ronald Reagan was president in America, he was hosting an Australian Prime Minister. And, he made in his speech that was telecast here, I recall it, he made a comment in his speech talking about Australia and Australian, you know, in the presence of Australian delegation. He said, Ronald Reagan said, there are few people and few occasions where a country of a small population has had the effect that Australia has had around the whole world. And when you think about our population, we really are the population. Our population as a nation is about the size of maybe a large Asian city. And that's all of us. But through history, we have been allowed to play a part, and most of the world knows of us. And I'm just saying that to encourage you that though we not be many, we can still, in boxing terms, we would say this, we can punch above our weight. We can pray that we would punch above our weight. And God likes people who want to punch above their weight. God kind of gets behind that. God likes that idea. There's a lot of biblical precedent of God getting behind people that no one else thought was anybody. And God likes to do that because God gets to demonstrate it was all me. I did that. It was my power, my working. Yeah, I know you saw the boy sling the stone, but actually I did that to Goliath. Amen. And that was me. And so there's hope for us. I don't think there's any cause to be distressed about our number. In fact, I would say there's a lot of hopeful signs. As I get around, I'm actually feeling increasingly hopeful at what I see God doing in many of our churches. And even in some of our churches that perhaps have gone through a little bit of struggle or maybe some suffering, I've seen a fall that people have come out of that unto more fruit, much fruit, abounding fruit. Kind of like a pruning, a working. So I'm hopeful about our situation. I want to encourage you to believe in a big God, to understand whatever country you're in. If you're in Australia, God placed you here. However you got here, you're here. And I don't know if you've noticed, we're kind of a people out of region here. We're essentially, at least, you know, European-based, and here we are in this part of the world, and it's a bit unusual because it's not really where people like us usually are, but we're here, and God put us here, and I think as Australians, we want to do our part to reach the world, and we want to do our part to reach our country. And it's important that we not lose that. All right, let's just read a couple of places. Let me give you some thoughts. And my prayer is that whatever the application for you and your ministry is where you are, that God would just, you know, speak to you of that. Exodus 34, verse 23 and 24. Exodus 34, verse 23 and 24. Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. Now, similar, you can keep Exodus in Deuteronomy chapter number 16, just a similar thing here to use this to launch into progress into our thoughts. Verse number 16 of Deuteronomy chapter 16, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. So both of those passages refer to God instructing Israel that he wanted the men on at least three times a year to come out together and to come before him. Now, whatever that says about Israel, it says a bit about God. And you need to understand that, you know, these people had, they'd been in Egypt, and they did not have prophets wandering amongst them in Egypt. They were not given great insights about God in Egypt. And this had been many generations. They had been there. And many generations born there. Their grandparents were born there. And they would die there and that would be it. So when God came to them, and I do believe they were hanging on to the promise and the bones of Joseph, and you know I think they still knew of God, but they didn't know God well. And so when God sent Moses to them, and he gathered them together as a people, something starts where God begins to reveal himself to them. And that's important because they have to start to align with how God thinks. They've got to learn a new way about this God we're following. And indeed, the first thing that God taught them to do was he taught them to follow. And he did that by giving them a cloud through the day and a pillar of fire at night. And the first lesson that they got was the lesson in following that cloud. And God was just teaching them how you stay in step with me. When I stop, you stop. When I say go forward, you go forward. When I say just abide here for a period, you abide. And I'll tell you when to go and when to stop. And I'll lead you at the pace of my choosing, not what you think. And I'll lead you in the direction that I've chosen and selected. And it won't be given to everybody to just have ideas about what they think. And so they had to learn that lesson from the beginning. And what they're doing, they're learning God. And they're beginning to understand him and what's important to him and how he thinks. And that's all part of that thing of not just doing but being, is you have to learn God. And you have to understand what he's like. And you have to learn his ways so that you can do all those things. And you want to have Christ in you and be like him. And so God is revealing things to them. And this would have come as a revelation to them that God was saying, what I want is I want the men. I want the men to assemble together and come before me on these three times a year. And so that tells us something about how God thinks and how God thinks about us. Because we're just men here and the ladies are over there, but how God thinks about us. And we can learn this. We learn number